This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Last warning, if you haven't seen the show yet, turn your radio down, because there are spoilers that are going to happen in this next segment. And, you know, it's funny, the response I was seeing last night, there was a lot of people talking about, oh, this is one of those epic episodes. I think the ending was fantastic, and we'll get to that in a minute. My problem with, I wasn't as blown away by everybody else, because I kind of felt like most of the episode, it reminded me of a little bit of a Walking Dead episode, where it's just a lot of nothing, and then the last 5 minutes are through the roof. And I'm curious, John, what you think, because I think the whole Arya storyline is dragging the show down. I think, frankly, until a girl is ready, or until a girl is ready to get her ass out of there, I don't care about anything else that happens in that entire storyline. There's just nothing happening there. She gets beat up with a stick, and a girl's not ready. Okay, we get it.
I agree. I see, with the Dany storyline, I could see them kind of very slowly moving it along. But with Arya, it seems like it's the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Until, I mean, I think it was a couple episodes ago where they actually kind of moved the story along to where she was becoming ready. And I think,
well, she got her sight back. That was, that's what the story moved.
Yes. And I think the last couple episodes when they did show Arya is when it's the same thing that we've been seeing, except now she has her vision and she's fighting. And I do feel like this storyline, until she actually kind of gets out and maybe assassinates that one actress that they have her trying to go out and assassinate, I think they could have done without this past episode. I think the only reason why they showed her was to kind of have her waver on what she is when she saw the reenactment of how her father died. With the play, I think that's the only point where I can kind of see them showing her.
Yeah.
But even with that, I could have done without.
Unless it was intentional to get her to leave, basically.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what they're trying to do, and that would have been a way to do it, with seeing the whole thing play out like that. But that storyline is to me was very boring. I did like what happened with the Kingsmoot, with Yara nominating herself and doing the great speech, and Theon doing
good.
A great speech, and then here comes Euron, who's like, oh, by the way, I'm going to hook up with Dany and going to be married to her. Okay. So let's go.
And I was just like, no, that is never going to happen.
No. Although she has interesting tastes. And I really hope her storyline gets moved up a little bit and moves faster, because that's another one that's dragged. It got better last week. But again, this week was just sort of the goodbye to Jorah, and go get your grayscale fix. Good luck with that.
Yeah, and we've seen this with Dany before. I mean, when she was with the the first time this happened, she got an army and then lost it, and then she's going to a different city. She gets another army. She loses it again, and then it happened again.
Yeah, that's a very similar storyline. So I thought that part of the show was not all that interesting. I did like Sansa and Baelish meeting. I like the way she handled herself there. However, I think if she were smarter, she'd go ahead and take that army. They're going to need all the help they can get.
And you can kind of tell she obviously has no experience in thinking two steps ahead. She wants to kind of get her revenge. I guess she's thinking maybe one step ahead, keeping Littlefinger instead of killing him off. But she doesn't play that piece to where she should have used him to get a step ahead of him, where I think he's ahead of her now.
See, that's where she needs to be listening to Ser Davos. You know, yes. Ser Davos is kind of the Tyrion of that end of things. And speaking of Tyrion, have to say, I'm always happy to see a new Red Witch. Younger Red Witch. Not as attractive, but pretty attractive. Any Red Witch is a friend of mine. So,
and she's I think this is the first time you kind of see Varys very vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of references to no penises and such in this episode.
Yes.
Between Theon and Varys. And then, of course, the big part was at the end where, well, there were two things that we learned from the Children of the Forest. First, that they were responsible for the White Walkers, that they created them.
It had a very Native American, European settlers feel to the episode.
Yeah, I agree. And so they created those to stop mankind Well, that didn't work out for him. But I have my big reveal here. My big thing. I'm officially Team White Walker.
You're so evil.
I love the White Walkers. There's no emotion to them. They're just basically, hey, we're here to kill people, turn them into zombies, freeze the world. Simplicity, man. I'm for. And plus, I'm starting to dislike all the human beings anyway. They've screwed things up so bad. They're all still fighting each other. They can't get it together and say, let's go after the White Walkers.
Oh, I was going to say, are we still talking Game of Thrones or just in general? Because I would agree with you. Okay.
Yeah, we're still on Game of Thrones.
Okay. And I've become such a dork in terms of like lineage and like theories and whatnot. And I was talking to Lewis Woodward, who works he works for Yahoo Sports Radio on the national side. He also doubles as a sales guy. Me and him spent 40 minutes talking about Game of Thrones and theories and whatnot. And when you look at the grand scheme of things, you kind of pick out Bran, and you can kind of look at it and say, he may actually be the biggest player in this entire thing. And if he can go back in time and change stuff to where Hodor becomes Hodor, that when the series first started, Hodor was already Hodor because future Bran went back and did that to Hodor. So I'm guessing all of the stuff that we've been seeing is happening because Bran changed it.
Yeah,
I think
that's which is very strange, and this is where it's starting to get into an area where I don't quite know what's going on.
It's kind of a time he's shifting time around, and you can kind of put a theory together to where all of this is happening because Bran is wanting to make it happen.
Well, and I'm wondering how much. Well, and that's the weird part is that he's able to travel back in time and have an impact because they hurt him in the last episode. In this one, obviously, he's the one that turned Hodor into hold the door. And how awesome was that last few minutes where the White Walkers and the zombies are coming and they're fighting them off. And that whole moment at the door, that was his entire life.
He was meant to hold the door.
The whole thing in his life was to hold them off and save Bran. That's it. And, he's one of the few characters that you look at who's just, he's like a puppy, man. You couldn't hate Hodor, right? Hodor was loyal. Hodor did the right thing. He protected everybody. And that was his sole purpose in life. There's kind of I think there's something kind of cool to that. If you knew that your one purpose in life was you were going to do something great, that was going to protect somebody who obviously is maybe the most important character when it's all said and done. I'd be cool with that.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.